Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, the draft is over, and I am sad. But the Titans have stepped away with their quarterback, Will Levis, taken much later than expected. Titans trade up to 33 overall in the second round to take Will Levis. Looking at all of these quarterbacks, and I'll take the top four, Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis. Each of them had their own flaws. Bryce Young, the size. CJ Stroud, the S2 score, supposedly. Anthony Richardson, the lack of experience. Will Levis, the inconsistencies and the turnovers. They all had their flaws. Why do you think Will Levis was the one of the four that ultimately fell into the second round?
I think because, they were needy teams at the top of the draft. And so when those guys went quickly, I think that, the next batch, which would have been Levis and Hendon Hooker, kind of found themselves in no man's land a little bit. And then as things kept going on, I think it causes doubt about, well, wait a second, we had this player rated at a certain level. Other teams are passing on him. I think it starts to, at least at some level, start to create some apprehension and some second guessing, I guess, about your evaluation of that player. And so I think that ends up happening. And then it was clear that teams had tried to move back into the top of the first round. And so, look, if either Hendon Hooker or Will Levis were drafted in the first round, we would have talked about their slide for sure. But they also would have been guys that went in the first round. And so teams, not willing to move out of the first round because of a prospect that they liked, I think contributed to that. So I think those were all factors. And then I would just say this, because, there was a lot of talk about CJ Stroud and the leaking of his S2 score and, whether that's right or wrong. And, Chris Ballard obviously had some comments about it, after the draft. I think the flip side of that is let's just say that, some of the information on Stroud was being used. I think the flip side of that is I think Will Levis got used. I don't think that Levis was going to go in the first four picks. I think most people, felt pretty confident about that. But that didn't stop people from acting like that might be the case. And I think that's the other reason that it happened to Levis.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, keeping in mind the current state of the Tennessee Titans, Will Levis and his hype, Will Levis where he ultimately ended up going in the second round, what do you think are fair expectations for Will Levis?
I mean, I think it's a fair expectation that he only plays if Ryan Tannehill's injured this year. I mean, I think that should be the expectation. Now, I'm sure that he'll come in with a chip on his shoulder, feeling like there's something to prove. But, look, I would expect Levis to be the backup, not the third guy. And I would expect him to be, kind of chomping at the bit in terms of trying to get in there and play. And with, Ryan's age and, injury history and the fact that he's coming off of a surgery, I would expect that we see Levis, probably at least for two games this year. And look, he should be encouraged by that because, getting drafted sooner, making more money, maybe doesn't put you in as good of a spot to succeed. I think that he's actually in a position to be the backup this year, play some, obviously get work in the preseason, and maybe be in a situation where he can be the starting quarterback next year.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, with that being said, because it just seems like, if you're looking at these quarterbacks, and whether you whether you like Will Levis or not, you look at him and his body of work, you would think that of the four fire receiver, quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round, early second, he may be the one that you would look at and say, okay, he's ready to play. Now, if he goes into camp and he shows that he's progressing faster than, what the coaches thought, do you think it still would be wise to sit him for that year?
if he's the best quarterback, I'm playing him. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's unrealistic. And I agree with you in terms of, look, he's played a lot of football. He's been around a lot of football. He's learned various systems. He's, you know, there are things about him that I think would be data points to say, all right, there's a chance that he comes in and seems ready. So, look, if that happens, I'm playing him. If he's the best guy, I'm playing him. Now, I'm just being realistic from the standpoint of the type of player I think that Ryan Tannehill is, the experience that he has, the knowledge that he has. Look, I'm expecting Ryan to be a better player throughout the offseason in the training camp, and quite honestly, at the, you know, for the season. I mean, I'm expecting that. Now, I think we all understand that the big issue, you know, with Ryan and the future of the organization is he's making a ton of money. I mean, over the basically, you get to this season, over the last 3 years, I mean, you can put that, you know, his earnings over that 3 year span up against anybody's in the National Football League. And the flip side of that will be, you know, you'll be going into, just say going into the 2024 season, you will have a quarterback that is on a rookie contract who was drafted in the second round, so you don't have the fifth-year option on him, and you're going to want to find out if he can play or not. So, look, I think this is one of those years in Tennessee for Ryan Tannehill where he needs to play great in order to have a future beyond this season with the Tennessee Titans. So, look, I think he's going to be clearly going to be the guy, but there are going to be incentives to play other quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes thing where you knew Patrick was going to be the starter eventually. So you just did what you needed to do to make sure. So, sort of like an audition for Alex Smith for other teams because he knew he wasn't going to be there the next following year. And I see that sort of the same way with Ryan Tannehill. This is an audition year for him to show other teams he can still play and still be a starter in this league. I don't know, Tim. Were you a part? I know you played with Eli, but were you there when he was drafted? Because you know how this is. You know, you had Kurt Warner there, then they draft Eli, and that whole dynamic between the future and the current. How did that go? Because essentially that's what's happening here with Will Levis and Tannehill.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's a great point. So I actually came in the following year. So Kurt left and I came in. So, you know, D-Mace, just pretty standard. They're replacing future Hall of Famer with me. I mean, that's how, like, just basic, you know, one-to-one swap. You know, that's how they wanted to do it.
They upgraded.
They upgraded, exactly. Jeff.
look, here's how that dynamic went. And let me preface this by saying I love both guys. I consider both guys to be very good friends. Kurt thought he could still play, and he actually proved it later in Arizona, but Kurt thought he could still play. He was the starter in New York. They draft Eli, and Kurt plays half the year, and honestly, he just was not set up to succeed. And it kind of made it impossible for Kurt to have success. So two really good guys who I would also say are unselfish and kind of team-first, you know, players and teammates, it was not a great dynamic. It just wasn't. And it was hard. It was bad and it didn't work out. And so, I think that can happen with players that are, you know, team first, because I think a lot of it has to do with where the starter thinks he is in his career and what the backup or the young guy that was just drafted, you know, what his approach to it is.
Tim. I was thinking, too, Chris Chandler, Steve McNair, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Look, I'll tell you, like, it happened here with my brother and Jake Locker, you know. But my brother and Jake they ended up being such great friends. Like, you know, no one wanted more success for Jake than Matthew. In fact, Matthew maybe wanted more success for Jake than Jake did. Like, I just think that, and there are other scenarios. Like, look, Drew Bledsoe and Tony Romo, or Drew Bledsoe and J.P. Lossman, I can just, like, those weren't good. So I think a lot of it has to do with the dynamic of, you know, where the older guy thinks that he is, where the younger guy thinks he is, and how that's all going to work out. And, look, I think, you don't know until you're in that environment and the guys get to interact with one another.
More with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
Tim, this is another one. Your experience in the media and as being a quarterback will be a good perspective here, because we did an exercise and we went through the entire list of quarterbacks who were simply taken in the second round since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek and Caroline gave out exactly two A's. And that was, of course, Drew Brees and Jalen Hurts. Two A's. Okay. So they were pretty harsh on, I mean, there were some other guys that you might take that career for a second round pick. Kaepernick and Andy Dalton. There's some other interesting names on there, but there are a lot of names where you can't even remember the guy ever playing. Right, it's a list of like 20 to 21, 25 guys.
You bought a Kellen Clemens jersey. Stop it! I know you did.
Well, Derek did also give an A to Drew Stanton.
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
For reasons that we understand.
To Michigan State.
He gave an A without hesitation.
And Derek's a softy over here. He's an easy teacher.
But in a lot of people's minds, right? This is kind of what we're getting at. Will Levis, we heard all the hype. We thought he might go as high as number two or number four or something like that, but he is a second-round pick. So what should that do to your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, listen, based on what you said, it should tamp him down a little bit. There's no question about it, because part of making it in the NFL is your path to play. And you know, like, while we do see some guys with an opportunity, Davis Mills got a chance basically, you know, last year, but like your path to play is hard. You know, most guys don't really get that shot. Like, take for example, you know, somebody like Sam Howell. So Sam Howell goes to Washington. They play other quarterbacks this year. He doesn't play at all. Look, had they drafted a quarterback, Sam Howell never gets a chance. So, and you can draft another quarterback the next year if you didn't draft a quarterback, you know, the year before in the first round. And we've seen actually people take somebody, you know, if you drafted a quarterback in the first round. So I just think that what happens is your road to playing and getting a real opportunity shrinks when you're not a first round draft pick. And so then you just need some good fortune for your career, meaning guy in front of you gets hurt, you get an opportunity to play, you've got good players around you, the system fits, and then for whatever reason, you find another chance. I mean, otherwise, I think that it just ends up being difficult because, you know, we normally see, even with guys that are first-rounders, and we were talking about Eli might be a Hall of Famer one day. Go look at Eli's rookie year. I mean, it was bad. I think DeMace maybe was in Baltimore then. He had a zero quarterback rating in a game against the Ravens. I mean, and it was ugly. So young quarterbacks struggle. So if you don't get your second year to kind of make it work, then that doesn't happen. Look at Jalen Hurts. Played for basically a month and a half as a rookie. Then got to start the next year. Well, like, they gave him another opportunity to start. They very easily could have turned the page on him, but because they didn't, it gave him a chance. Most guys in the second round don't get to play for 2+ years before a team makes a decision on him.
Interesting point. We did not bring that into discussion before. All right, so now that the trade is officially done, we didn't get to talk to you about this last week with the Packers and the Jets. I just noticed today that Jordan Love has signed a one-year extension. I thought that was an interesting move I haven't seen very often, but it sounds pretty smart for the Packers to sort of give the guy a little runway here to figure out if he can play.
Well, I mean, essentially what we were just talking about, right? Like, so we're going to give Jordan Love one season to play? Because he essentially played, I mean, very little football, and it has not been great, and so now you give him a chance. So the runway is probably good for both parties. You know, put some money in his pocket, some guaranteed money in his pocket, and gives him a little bit of security from the standpoint of, you know, it's not all on this season to prove you can play or not. And then, you know, in terms of the compensation, Aaron needs to play 2 years in New York for that to make sense for the Jets. It just because of the capital. And I guess, you know, if they won a Super Bowl in 1 year, you could argue that it paid off. I know there's reports today about, you know, the, you know, jersey sales and other things associated with, you know, how the organization is winning before they even play a game by signing Aaron. But I think Aaron needs to play more than 1 year. And based on some of the contract restructuring that looks like has taken place with him, it seems like it's not going to be a one and done, which I think is the only reason, the only way you can make it make sense in terms of the draft capital the Jets gave up to get him.
So what was the craziest thing with your coverage of the draft, you know, on the inside? I remember picking your brain when the draft was here and you were running all over the place. But So where you were as everything fell, what was the craziest thing that was going on behind the scenes?
You know what? I don't know if there was anything crazy behind the scenes. I guess I would just say this. Like, I was stunned at – well, let me put it this way. I think the craziest thing is in a world today where there's so many insiders and so many leaks and people, you know, saying, you know, varying things and being able to decipher all of that, I thought the way the Houston Texans – kept what they were doing under wraps was like, I don't really know that I can remember another scenario where a team had a clear plan and none of the insiders, like no one knew. I mean, it's rare, I feel like, to have that type of secrecy surrounding the draft. Like nobody was really on what Houston was doing, and in fact had led people down a totally different trail for what they were doing, you know, early in the draft.
What was your perspective as in real time as ESPN kept putting up the percentage chance that Will Levis would still be on the board, and you got Mel Kiper going, he's still my number one guy, you know, all this stuff. So what were your thoughts as that was happening?
You know, I mean, truthfully, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, I feel like, and listen, I'm not like singing some, you know, sad song for Will Levis on this. I all I'm saying is I think he got used because, and I say that in that, look, he's represented by, you know, an agency that represents a lot of players. And coaches, for that matter. And so, you know, there should be enough information for a guy to decide whether or not you are going to go to the draft. The draft odds for him, so Vegas' odds for him, to potentially be drafted number one overall, like that shot up right prior to the draft. I think that there was just this public perception of him being drafted, I mean, in the first three picks, certainly the first four. And so I actually started just to feel bad for him because I thought, you know what? You would have never come to the draft if you knew or if you had any idea that a slide like this was possible. So that really for me, I just kind of felt bad because I feel like he got bad information.
Yeah, you're right. It was just agonizing just sitting, you know, watching him and his family just kind of go through that. And it's not like this is the first time we've seen it because we've seen it in prior years as well. Most notably, Geno Smith end up, you know, leaving.
Yep. Drew Lock in Nashville. I remember that very well.
So we've seen it
hey,
before.
Listen, man, I had to wait seven rounds. Okay? Like, I don't feel that far.
No,
yeah. I'm still waiting.
No, you're absolutely right. But this, I mean, looking at this this draft and the players that end up being drafted in the first round, I thought the Lions sort of, you know, that was a head scratcher with them taking a running back that early, but they did end up trading back, their other running back, Swift, to Philadelphia, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're the Philadelphia Bulldogs, as everyone has renamed them. But with all of that going on, I think sort of the Lamar thing was sort of overshadowed by some of the moves that were made. What do you think about that contract? I think it was – I know people look at it and say, well, he didn't get the guaranteed money. He didn't get the guaranteed money. And those that sort of, I believe, are against Lamar will always point to that. But I point to the kid got close to $200 million guaranteed. Like – you know, with his mom representing him as an agent. So, to me, it's a win for all parties. It's a win for Lamar. It's a win for the Baltimore Ravens. Hell, it's a win for other quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I agree with that for sure. Look, he got $185 million guaranteed, which, look, is not as much as Kyler Murray, but it was more than Jalen Hurts. And look, but he also got the team to, I mean, you would have to think that it influenced the team to draft Zay Flowers and sign Odell Beckham Jr. And so, you know, I think while that is not going to show up, you know, monetarily to him from the standpoint of this contract, it is significant if you're a quarterback and playing a dependent position. So I think that is true. I also think that the Ravens really won. And I say that because, here's the deal. Like, yes, he the guy's a former league MVP. They said, all right, we're going to put, you know, a franchise tag on you that is going to allow you to go hit the market. And look, we can probably match anything that you get done out there. And no one called. Mm-hmm. Like, and here's the other thing. And this is, and I would just say this in terms of the guaranteed money. It's $45 million less in guaranteed money than Deshaun Watson. So, D-Mace, everything you said, I agree with. It's great for Lamar. It's great for the Ravens. He raised the quarterback market. All that stuff is true. It is also true that he did not get what he was looking for, not even close. That is an outlier contract that the Browns signed Watson to. It is not a comp for any quarterback that is looking for a new deal. And the Ravens ultimately got Lamar Jackson under a contract that is way less than that. And truthfully, he probably has Jalen Hurts. Well, he does. He has Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray partly to thank for it. So, like, yes, his mom did the deal and – you know, it's going to end up saving him $7 million in agent fees and things like that. But I also think that the Ravens didn't fall for the using the Deshaun Watson contract as a comp.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
All right, see you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. I did feel bad for Will Levis on draft night. That was tough to watch. And
brutal.
I did feel bad for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Betting on himself, put himself out there, and it was crickets on the other end of the line. But Tim Hasselbeck brought up a very interesting perspective from him being in the same place when he was in the league. And it's going to be the same position and same dynamic or similar dynamic that Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis will face this upcoming season. And we'll give our thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline Millie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Millie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Appreciate Tim Hasselbeck coming on with us in the last half hour. And another thing that I do really appreciate from Tim is his perspective of being there before. That's what I love about your perspective, D-Mace. The guys who have been in these similar situations. D-Mace, you brought up a very, very fair point about Tim being, you know, being the one coming in and being the heir apparent to Kurt freaking Warner. Mm-hmm. While Will Levis isn't stepping into a situation where he is the heir apparent, right now, immediately, the veteran is still in the room. Tim brought up the perspective of the veteran, mm-hmm. of how the veteran is going to be taking this. Because we can look at Will Levis and say he's coming in and he has to prove himself. He has to work really hard. He has to prepare every single day like he's the starter. But from Ryan Tannehill's perspective, how he's taking all of these things, at least my opinion, how I feel, I think that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starter in 2023.
Yeah, I think he will, unless it's close. If it's close, then I think, you know, the Will Levis you know, story begins.
Right.
If it's close. Do I expect it to be close? No. But that doesn't mean I expect Will Levis to bomb either. I just think that Ryan Tannehill understands the landscape right now. And he understands that this has to be, if he wants to continue to play football as a starter, this has to be the best season he's had in his, basically in his career.
Yeah.
Because you're not auditioning for the Titans. You're not their quarterback in 2024. You're just not.
Right.
They're moving on. You will be auditioning for other teams that may need a quarterback next year that is looking for a veteran quarterback that say, you know what, we're one veteran quarterback away from, you know, getting to this mark or getting over this hump and putting ourselves in a position to win in the playoffs. So he understands that, just like Alex Smith understood that when Patrick Mahomes got drafted, listen, I'm auditioning for other teams now. It's not, it's I get it. No harm, no foul, no disrespect. I know what I got to do as a player.
Right.
I got to set myself up so I can have a job next year. That's how Ryan has to look at it. And that's how every veteran guy, you're going to take several different approaches. I'm going to tell you this. A veteran guy that has been producing in the NFL as he gets older, and you draft somebody at his position, he's going to be a little upset. He's going to be upset.
It's natural.
That's just the way it is. Not that he's upset with the guy. He's upset that you thought that he was done, so you had to draft that guy, even though you know realistically in your mind, hell, my career is more toward the end than it is the beginning. It happened to me in Baltimore. It was like they drafted Torrey. They were going to draft Torrey Smith, or they had drafted Torrey Smith. And I remember the OC came to me and said that. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, this is still my job.
Yeah.
You know, but they were looking beyond that.
Right.
You know, and I had to understand that part.
It's
like, it's not about me. It's about the team and wanting to keep that level of play. You know, they didn't want to, like, skip a beat. They didn't want to, you know, me leave and them have to find a receiver after that. No, they had drafted, you know, a guy in the second round that was going to be their, you know, their second guy, because Quan was still the first guy. He was going to be the second guy, the stretch the field guy. So veteran guys, we don't like it. Any veteran guy that tells you he don't mind them drafting another guy at his position, they lying to themselves. That's just flat out. They're lying to themselves. That's just like a job. Any job that you go to, if you've been there for a while and they bring in somebody else to do your job, what are you going to think?
It's a natural reaction.
Exactly. It's like, no, I still can do my job.
Let's look back on a couple of things that we brought up with Tim, because I think it is going to be a thing. It is going to be something to manage, from media relations to Mike Vrabel, every press conference, because it's going to be always a thing under the surface. And Malik Willis never got to that point. But with Levis, I do think it's going to be much more, especially with Tannehill's contract situation.
Yes.
It's much more just going to be out there, and it could be a meter that rises and falls. If Tannehill's playing really well, you won't get as much of it. If the team struggles and Tannehill's struggling, it's a natural thing. Well, are you going to consider?
Right.
How's Levis doing in the background there? You know, it's going to happen. But let's go back. When the Titans drafted Steve McNair, Chris Chandler, who was a solid starter, good player, ended up leaving the Oilers to go to the Falcons, and he led them to the Super Bowl in 1999. So the guy still had something in the tank.
Exactly.
Right? He was still good. He thought he was still good.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy that they drafted McNair.
No.
And so he was like, I'm still the man. I can still play. And, of course, they didn't rush McNair in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not – I wasn't there. But by all accounts, he was not Mr. Helpful, you know, mentor kind of thing. So, eventually, they moved on from Chris Chandler and brought in Dave Craig when they made McNair the starter, because they wanted a guy that came in. Dave Craig had been, he'd probably been a better player than Chris Chandler for a long time, for the length of his career, but he was towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him coming in, you're coming in to be the backup to Steve McNair.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a much better dynamic between
the
two quarterbacks. You brought up, I remember the day we did it. It was a pregame for a radio show we're doing on the game before a Titans game.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the point when Matt Hasselbeck was the quarterback and Jake Locker was the backup the first year. Mm-hmm. They sat Locker. He was the first round pick, but their intention was to let him sit under Hasselbeck for a year. But as Hasselbeck was playing well, and you heard Tim talking about what was going on behind the scenes, Matt Hasselbeck thought he could still play. You made the point in the middle of the season, next year, mm-hmm. when they make Jake the starter, they can't have Matt Hasselbeck be the backup.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with Matt.
It had nothing to do with Matt, but no. Your point was you need to bring in somebody that comes in and knows mm-hmm. he's the backup, and he knows Jake Locker is the starter, so that Jake Locker is not looking over his shoulder there. Mm-hmm. And it's for that reason. And they ended up bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick, of all people, was the guy they brought in and replaced Hasselbeck, mm-hmm. who in turn became Andrew Luck's backup for exactly. a while there. But so, he knew going in, at that point, he was going to be the backup to Luck.
Yeah, and that sort of, I don't think the Titans are going to get to that point here with if Will Levis, you know, again, if Will Levis shows that he's progressing faster than what they thought, I think either way, if they don't start him this year, then, you know, he'll be the starter next year and Ryan will be gone. Mm-hmm. And I believe Ryan understands.
What if Tannehill has a huge year, though? Right?
He's still gone.
Let's say he has a huge year and they make the playoffs. It's unlikely. But they have the ability to bring him back.
What's a huge year?
Leads them to the playoffs.
He's still
gone. They win the division.
What do they do in the playoffs?
He's still gone.
Let's say they win the wild card game.
Lose in
the second game.
He's still gone.
I think he's still gone.
My thing is anything short.
I don't know if you can say that for sure.
No, anything short of going to the Super Bowl, he's gone. But what if
Levis is in there and they're not all that excited about him?
That's the sort of
caveat. There's a lot of things that could happen.
That's the caveat. My scenario is Will Levis shows that he's making, that he's doing what he needs to do. Will Levis is showing that he's picking up the offense. In preseason, Will Levis looks good. Everything is pointing toward this is our guy, you know, next year. We're not worried about it. Even if Ryan Tannehill takes them to the playoffs, the Titans have already showed y'all this. Mike Mularkey took them to the playoffs. And what did they do? Yeah. Because the way we saw it is like, damn, Mike took them. They're headed in the right direction. I mean, Mularkey.
Yeah, they won a playoff game.
They won a playoff game. But the organization said, hey, listen, this is the route we're going. Mm-hmm. You know, we like you, Mike. But we want this guy.
John Robinson never had a losing
season. Exactly. And Mike Vrabel came in and took the mantle and ran with it. Mm-hmm. If, indeed, Ryan Tannehill takes them to the playoffs, say he wins a game, it doesn't matter.
But it matters how Levis looks. So how do they like Levis? They will have a year to evaluate him. So that's
Levis is the wild card in all this. Yeah. It has nothing to do with how Ryan Tannehill plays. Levis, if he shows that he's picking up everything and he's ready to go, they are going to play him.
And because the Chiefs walked away from Alex
exactly.
Smith.
Exactly. And Alex Smith had the best
and
career
he had a good year. Yeah.
of his life.
So that could happen too.
As a Chief, he had the best career. And they still got rid of him.
The best year of his career, I think so. Period,
yeah.
Was that final year with the Chiefs, and then they bring Patrick Mahomes in. And I know anything can happen, that Will Levis can come into training camp and look like Peyton Manning Jr., and he wins the starting job. I know anything could happen on the other end of the spectrum where Will Levis just does not look very good and that he isn't ready to start in year two. Now, I don't think either of those things are very likely. I wouldn't give it a very high percentage chance, but I'm not throwing that out as possibly in the realm of possibility. But I do think that, because I look at, you know, the 2021 year, same thing happened. I know they didn't win a wild card game, but they were the top seed in the AFC. But then Ryan Tannehill lost the game in the divisional round of the playoffs, and everyone was willing to get to move off of Ryan Tannehill right then and there. So I do think that anything short of the Super Bowl, Ryan Tannehill most likely will not be the quarterback moving forward for the Tennessee Titans. But I do wonder how he kind of takes this year. Because Tim said it totally depends on how the incumbent kind of treats it. We've seen Ryan Tannehill handle adversity or handle his job kind of being 50-50 really well. 2019, he came in. Marcus Mariota was still on the roster. He played fantastic. 2020, he was playing for that contract. He played out of his mind. 2021, he wasn't really playing for anything. And I'm not going to say that he all of a sudden just, you know, sat back and wasn't worried about anything, kicked his heels up and acted like, hey, my contract is good, my job is safe, I don't have to worry about anything. But we have seen Ryan Tannehill play when his job is at risk really, really well. Just not in these circumstances of his career potentially being on the line. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get to your phones coming up next. We haven't heard enough from the people, so we'll do that coming up next. And also, be caller 3 right now, and you will win a pair of tickets before you can even buy them to see Shinedown at First Bank Amphitheater on October 3rd. That is caller 3. Good luck, Caroline Relay D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the St. Paul Saints, the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Unless we have some thoughts.
Go to the phone.
Let's go.
Let's get to the phones. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Wes in Clarksville texts in and says if they have no intention of keeping Tannehill after this year, then they need to cut him now. Do what they did to John Robinson.
No. I don't think you do that because you don't know what this kid is going to be. Because, you know, last segment was us. Everything was predicated on whether Will Levis showed promise. Did he show that he can command an offense? Is he showing that he looks like a starting quarterback? Well, if that's the case, then next season, well, this upcoming season would be the last for Ryan Tannehill. You just don't want to say, well, he's showing promise. Let me get Ryan out of here. Well, what if things start to go wrong? You know, you still want to have, you know, sort of that backup plan. But, again, I did say if it's close and he's doing what he needs to do, then you let the players play determine what you're going to do with Ryan Tannehill. You just don't say, well, we think he's the future. Let's get rid of Ryan now. No. I mean, Mike said it. We're going to, you know, Levis is starting off as the three. Malik has the two, and obviously Ryan's the one. But after that, I'm going to let the players work that out themselves. And what he means by that is how you perform. That will dictate who's the starting quarterback and who's not.
And I think 1 year in the NFL is so important. It is so vital. A lot of things can change in 1 year in the NFL. A lot of things can happen 1 year in the NFL. So taking that year and being able to groom Will Levis, get him acclimated into the system, make sure that he is ready. Once he hits the field, that he is ready to lead this football team. You don't want to rush that process. If you do feel like Will Levis is your guy, you at least try and trade Tannehill rather than cut him. I mean, try and get something in return for him. I don't know how many bidders there are out there, or how many trading partners are open and wanting a starting quarterback, an upgraded quarterback. But, I mean, I would rather trade him than cut him, if anything.
I do think the scenario, there's a lot of ways it can go. I don't think you decide on May the 2nd
or no.
that this is how we're going to do it. I think you leave some options open. But if somebody were to pick up a phone and call you after the June cuts, something happens crazy at the beginning of a training camp, right? We've seen quarterbacks go out for the year in the first preseason game, right? That's happened. Where all of a sudden, a contending team, your quarterback's out. What do? We have a pretty good team here. We're trying to win right now. Mm-hmm. If something like that happens and somebody picks up a phone and calls Rand Carthon and says, you know what? I'll give you a first-round pick for Ryan Tannehill right now. I mean, you just don't know what can happen. So if that happens, then you have to consider that, right? It's that could change your plans. Your plans might be, yeah, I want Tannehill to play. Maybe we can scratch out another division title. We have a good running game. Our defense rebounds. The rookies do well. And we're pretty good. I think that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But also, what if you get 3 or 4 weeks into the season and you're not doing real well and another contending team is in desperate, let's say the Dolphins, right? Uh-huh. Tua can't play. Something happens. Dolphins are really good.
Ryan back to Miami?
Be a heck of a story. But you know what I'm saying? You have a chance.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You have a chance if you're a team that needs picks.
Yeah.
You need players. Mm-hmm. And you could get a pretty good lot for a starting quarterback and get assets back for an asset that is probably at the end of his rope. Like you said, we all think the most likely scenario is this is his last year. You don't get much if he walks as a free agent. I guess you might get a compensatory pick. So if you get more than that back at a trade deadline, you got to consider that.
And I think, you know, Atlanta, possibly, they're going in right now with Desmond Ridder as the starter, but he could be horrendous.
That's a great example right there. They can run the heck out of the ball. Mm-hmm. They have Arthur Smith. They've got a growing roster. They're clamoring, hey, we want to win. It's time to start winning here. That is a really interesting scenario. You get a phone call from the Falcons.
I don't think it's likely, but again, anything can happen in
National
Football
League. Two or three weeks into a season. And stranger things have happened. Sometimes it's hard to trade a quarterback in the middle of the season, but that would be one where you could pull it off because he knows Arthur Smith.
Right, exactly. Joel is on the line. What's up, Joel?
I'd like to make this comment about the Will Levis trade. I listened yesterday from 6 o'clock with Robin Rexrow came on all the way to when Jared Stillman went off. Most people are saying they think it's a dumb pick. I say give the kid a chance. Because 2 weeks ago, D. Mace, who, by the way, I think should be in the Hall of Fame, said his comps in college were comparable to Ben Roethlisberger. If you get a Ben Roethlisberger-type career out of this young man in the second round, Carthon and Vrabel are going to look like genius. So let's give the kid a chance to start and give him 3 to 5 years before we start screaming about how stupid a pick it is. I think everybody just needs to chill out a little bit.
Thank you, Joel, and thank you for listening. I would agree. I think that there are a lot of people who don't like the pick. One, because they may be SEC fans and they saw on full display, maybe against the team that they root for, Will Levis not play very well. Mm-hmm. If I'm a diehard Tennessee fan and the only Kentucky game that I watched was Will Levis throw 3 picks and throw for fewer than 100 yards, I probably wouldn't be too high on the pick either. But I do think that, you know, he's not going to be Josh Allen or Ben Roethlisberger today. Mm-hmm. He's also not going to be Jake Locker today.
Yeah.
Let it give it some time.
Yeah. He's, you know, if you're comparing a comp to Jake Locker, I don't see the comp there. I think they are two different players from the quarterback position. I think Will Levis is more – because if you look at it, just look at his 2021 season. This team was at one point, I think they were like 8-0, 9-0, somewhere around there. They were atop the division or tied with Georgia, I think, in the division. And then they had a few losses here and then, you know, late, which dropped them out of, you know, championship or playoff contention. It dropped them out of it. But if you look at that season, had he come out that year, there'd have been a bunch of people trying to grab Will Levis up in the top 10. It just would have been because his season dictated that he was a high first-round pick. Then he comes back this following season, and his season isn't quite the same. So now, you know, people are talking about the turnovers. You know, but people didn't say anything about the turnovers last year. They just talked about how great he was. He double-digit touchdowns in turnovers last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, not this
2021.
Season. Yeah, 2021. Yeah. He had double-digit turnovers then. But because his team was winning and he looked more like a pro quarterback, people dismissed that. But then this year, because he didn't look like a pro quarterback, mind you, it's not like he threw – like 2 years ago he threw like 11 interceptions, I think, somewhere around there. It's not like he came back last season and threw 20 interceptions. He threw, I think, one or two more interceptions than he did the prior season. It was the interception numbers were close.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It doesn't – going at a certain point here, okay, we're all giving our takes on the draft, right, and what we think they should have done, all that stuff. Here pretty soon, it's going to be all about how Will Levis looks every day at practice. Remember how much we picked apart every day when Mariota was against Tannehill, right? Tannehill went 1 for 17. There was one of those days. I remember that. Malik Willis had a bad day at practice last year at training camp. People were talking about it, right? So that's what it's going to be about with Levis here. Here's what I don't want, okay? And I hope you get people who give a strong take They should not have taken Levis. Uh-huh. That's what you have a lot of that going on right now. It's still going on days after the draft.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when people marry themselves to that and don't have an open mind. So they're just going to keep that take, and every time he screws up in a practice, I told you, it was a terrible pick.
Yeah.
Try to have an open mind. You could change your mind. Let's just let it play out. Good pick, bad pick, dumb pick, whatever. He's the pick. So let's just see now.
Actually, people, and I'm looking at these numbers, he had more picks in 2021 than he did in 20.
It was just in a prettier package.
Yeah, exactly. It was just packaged a little bit different.
The team was more successful.
No, absolutely. No, and the team was more successful. So if you believed in Will Levis last year, like before the season started last year, if you believed he was an NFL quarterback that year, that he threw, you know, 24 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in 13 games, and he had 2,800 yards. So if you felt that he was a NFL quarterback, like a top pick quarterback then, does it change because of the packaging, like you said, mm-hmm. Caroline? Because he did cut down on the interceptions. Now he had, what, 5 fewer touchdowns as well, but he cut down on the interceptions. His passing completion rating went down a percentage. His yardage went down by 400. That tells you, like, maybe the talent wasn't around him, and maybe he had to do some things that he probably, you know, shouldn't have done just to try to make plays. But I go back to, again, if you felt in 2021 that he was a top-tier quarterback, then you shouldn't look at this 2022 and say, well, nah, he's going to end up being a Jake Locker or somebody else. No, actually, he got better at taking care of the football in 2022 than he did in 2021. And to me, his comp coming out of college, not to say he will be Ben, but his comp is Ben. You know, big, physical, fast. I mean, a guy that can run, Ben's not fast, but a guy that can run, mm-hmm. a guy that can throw the ball through the roof, a guy that can make every throw in the NFL. Will Levis can do it. Ben Roethlisberger did it. He's an Hall of Famer. So if I'm saying his comp is Ben Roethlisberger, then I can live with that.
We know he's big because he showed us in his mirror pictures.
Yes.
Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie-DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.